Camp Rock, this is Laura Radio. And we are going to have a very interesting show tonight. We've got an investigative reporter, Jim Stone, on the line, and he's doing this under some duress from a remote location. And his link to his site is on the front page of my website, which is, of course, projectcamelot.org or projectcamelotportal.com. Those links take you to the same place. Look for the radio show an icon and announcement, and you'll see the link to his site. He's got an amazing amount of information on his website. We're kind of let Jim take the lead as to where he wants to basically take us today. We're going to look into Fukushima, the information he's got in regard to that incident, and many other things. So, Jim, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. I'm trying to get a couple of links integrated onto the front page here. Hold on, I figured out why that one didn't work. Okay.
Okay, we are live on the radio right now,
okay.
It would be great if
you
just
you had initially contacted me wanting to talk about the grid and the fact that it was going to be delinked. What has happened to our electrical system? A lot of the listeners know what the grid is and how it's connected from coast to coast. And the way that I knew that they were going to delink the grid was they said that clocks were going to run on the East Coast faster than they were going to run on the West Coast. This can only happen if the grid is no longer connected, because as soon as you have any kind of a frequency difference, you'll end up with a phase mismatch between the coasts, and the grid will basically short out and shut down. And they went into specifics on the report that, like, Texas is going to run faster than Massachusetts, and Massachusetts was going to run slower than Arkansas. So I knew that they weren't just delinking it between the DC lines, which you can have opposite ends of the DC lines run at different frequencies. What has happened then is the reason why this would be done is to weaken this country in a war. If you have the grid delinked, what it means is that if you attack, take out a power company in Texas, it means that Maryland can't feed them power anymore. It means they can't get power out of Colorado. It means they go dark and they're gone. The American grid, the way it was hooked up, was a miracle of power stability. I remember as an electrician, many 5-year stretches where the power never even glitched once. Now that the grid has been delinked, I noticed within the first few months of that, 3 or 4 substantial power outages lasting minutes and numerous glitches. This would mean like you'd have to go back to your stove and reset the clock.
Jim, I'm going to interrupt you here because we needed you to give sort of an introduction to yourself. I have given you a brief introduction. I really like you to do is talk a little bit about your background, how you got to where you are today.
Okay. Well, early on in life, I worked for the National Security Agency, and that's where I got my education on the technical side. In 1992, I realized that there was a major problem with our country and the way it was running. I realized there was a problem in the universities, and that set me on a major trail trying to uncover who was causing the problems in this country, who was ripping it apart, who was enslaving us financially, who was writing all the crazy laws. And I have spent 20 years since then getting to the bottom of the story. I spent 2 years inside the Jewish community and uncovered a whole bunch of garbage there. I had made a whole bunch of discoveries, but I had gotten really lazy about publishing them. I was just thinking, well, I'll do it next year. And then Fukushima happened. And when those reactors exploded, I knew because of my technical background, that there was no way that that could happen. So I began to look into the Fukushima issue. And if you go on my website, and the page that I've linked to is just gemstonefreelance.com, but if you go /Fukushima1.html, my investigation of Fukushima is on that page. I got my hands on all the classified information. I interviewed the reactor engineers that actually designed and built Fukushima. I did an in-depth investigation into the earthquake and the realities of that. And it ended up being an absolutely massive report that took 500 hours. But if you go there, you're going to see, first of all, Japan never had a 9.0. And that's pretty well proven by the fact that that no buildings collapsed in Sendai. If you look at all the tsunami videos, that tsunami is ripping through cities that are completely unscathed by an earthquake.
So let me ask you, if it didn't have an earthquake, what's your position? What did it?
Well, obviously, I don't know if any of your readers have ever heard of Joe Vials. I have a link to one of his articles that he did on Indonesia and that tsunami there, which was originally reported as a 6.3 earthquake. Then it got bumped to like an 8. Then it got bumped to a 9.1 for tsunami effects. Well, it turns out that when you have a Richter scale, you know, your seismogram, those can be off by percent. They can't be off by orders of magnitude, and they can't be off by three orders of magnitude. So it's impossible to get a reading off of a seismogram that, you know, you can't get a 9.0 reading off of the seismogram for an earthquake that was a 6.3. Well, India got onto this and studied the seismograms, and they determined that it was a nuclear weapon that set it off, and they also captured the EMP signature of that nuclear detonation, which happened off the coast of Indonesia. And if you read the Joe Vials report, that's not my report. You go into it, you'll find out that something was really fishy there. And so what we have now with Fukushima and nuclear weapons being set off in the ocean there is a new form of terrorism. I'm sure that your listeners are well aware of false flag terror in the name of Arabs, in the name of whatever country they want the false flag terror to be blamed on. People got sure. way too familiar with this. And they were looking, you know, right immediately, internet investigations that go underway, saying, well, who really caused this? We know that was a false flag. So the next method of the elite then was to cause these terror attacks and get the job done in the name of the environment.
And I agree with you. Actually, I have whistleblower testimony that told me that there was a nuke planted actually underneath Fukushima. That's what I was told.
I got the company that planted it. I got the reason they planted it. I got everything. It's all in the
Fukushima. Okay, and what about Stuxnet? Because does Stuxnet the Israelis factor into this? Isn't that right?
Yes. Israel wrote a virus called Stuxnet, and this virus was specifically designed to go in and attack industrial control systems. And what it does is it makes everything go haywire on the machinery while keeping all the readouts that the operators can see normal. And the machinery can go totally haywire. Stuxnet will go into a system and learn what normal looks like.
Yeah.
So it sits there in idle mode for months or however long they wanted to learn this system. In the case of Fukushima, Stuxnet was planted in that system for about 4 months. It learned that when the operators pull the control rods out, that the temperatures are going to drop at this rate in this way, that when they put them in, it's going to rise in this way, the pressures are going to rise, the turbines are going to speed up, or not speed up, but put out X amount of current. So Stuxnet sat there and learned everything that the operators at that facility did. over a four-month period. The company that planted it was called Magna BSP. I mean, I have them nailed. I got a picture of the nuclear weapon that they planted in the facility. What they did was they sat there in Israel. They triggered this tsunami, and they sat there in Israel waiting for the tsunami to hit. The reactors did automatically scram right when the earthquake hit, because it's like these nuclear facilities are set up to be inherently safe. So if anything like seismically happens or anything electrically happens, the reactors automatically go into standby mode. And this happened at Fukushima. Well, what happened about 40 minutes after when the tsunami hit is they shut off the generators. With the they managed to get a remote internet link into the reactor room, and this was reported in the Jerusalem Post. This company, Magna BSP, which had its unrealistically huge nuke camera inside the Fukushima facility, also got an internet connection to that camera and to the guts of that facility that was in place all the way through to the disaster. And they used, either Stuxnet ran in automatic mode until everything blew up, or they administered Stuxnet until everything blew up. But, So
what happened exactly, because you were kind of giving a blow-by-blow and then you stopped. What happened when the tsunami hit? What exactly happened inside the reactor? You're saying they had already gone offline or whatever. But then what happened when the tsunami hit? Where was the nuke? Was the nuke before or after the tsunami?
If you go to the links page, let's see here. I have that. If you go to the Fukushima page, it's as I understand
I'm
that
on
better.
Your site.
So it's gemstonefreelance.com/fukushima.html.
Right.
I mean, Fukushima1.html. Fukushima.html is Japanese. That's no fun.
But what are you saying? Are you saying, I'm just asking you, can you just tell me what, for the listeners' purposes, the ones especially listening without, internet access at this time, can you explain, did the nuke hit before or after the tsunami?
Oh, this is way after the tsunami. It took them a long time to get reactor 3 to act up in a way that that was convincing. The camera was specifically designed to give them radiation readings and temperature readings off the reactor. So they knew when enough mayhem had broken loose to provide plausibility for an explosion, and they set it off. It says, this is a massive and technical report. If you have troubles understanding it, just look at this classified picture of the Vanish Reactor. You click on the Vanish Reactor link, and it'll pull up a diagram or, a little bit of a diagram of the guts of Fukushima and how it's put together. I've got an arrow pointing to where they had nuclear weapon placed. If you scroll down to the bottom of this picture, you will see an actual photograph of the actual nuke they got into Fukushima. It's right down at the bottom of that picture. And it was disguised as a stereoscopic camera. I have two diagrams of gun tape nuclear weapons up against this thing that they got in there. It's obviously a match.
And I have gone over this information, I guess, long before I contacted you. So my question to you is, with this information in hand, what do you think is happening? In other words, You're documenting this quite well, and I think other people are too. I think I've come across it a few different places. So what do you think? In other words, it came out of basically it was an Israeli false flag, right?
Yes, this is a false flag. It was done specifically for two reasons. The main one that really, really got the Israelis worked up and mad at Japan was the offer to enrich uranium for Iran. Well, you know what they did to Iran's nuclear program, and Iran managed to get over it. But Japan was a lot more vulnerable because they actually had a functioning, working reactor that this virus got into. It when this virus hit hit Iran, they were months away from starting up. So really, nothing could really happen. It got in, messed up their controls. It blew up a few centrifuges, and that was the end of it. In Japan, where we had perfectly working reactors that were going full bore and then got shut down and were fully fueled, I mean, you got a totally different scenario there.
Now, would you say, and because there's an interesting link here you've got on your site that says, does the Department of Homeland Security, is it trying to keep American industries in the dark about Stuxnet? That's an interesting question. I'd like to go into that. I don't want to leave this subject here, though, that we're dealing with in terms of the ramifications of Israel actually going in. Do you think that Israel was acting alone? It's much more likely to think that acting in unison.
It's sad to say that other countries most likely were involved. I got plenty of reports of the U.S. Navy being out there over the Japan Trench where the nukes went off. If you scroll down on this Fukushima page, I've got the real epicenter for the earthquake, and I've got the epicenter that the media reported. The real epicenter for this earthquake was 60 miles inland. The epicenter the media reported was 24 miles off the closest peninsula in the Japan Trench. The entire thing was a fabrication. I got a little bit sidetracked here.
I'm sorry, we have a commercial right now. We're going to come right back with Jim Stone. Really excellent information. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come.
Okay.
And I believe
this is Carrie Cassidy.
Something good has begun.
Project Camelot. Whistleblower Radio. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we are on with Jim Stone. We are going to go into some other details about the Fukushima disaster, but before we do that, I just want to, you know, I was talking to Jim off during the break, and I just want to clarify his background at the NSA, what exactly he was doing over there, as much as he is able to say, and I understand most of it's classified, of course. So Jim, can you tell me what your title was or designation as to what you did?
Well, it was Electronic Warfare Intercept Strategic Signal Processing Storage Systems Repair. It was basically the highest level in there. We didn't really do any development of new systems, but we were the people where if we got a black box that no one knew about and no one was trained about, we were expected to figure out what it was, what it did, and then make it work. Yeah, we were that type of people. There were very, very few of us in the NSA. Anyway, that's all I'm going into.
Okay, I appreciate that. Would you consider
and then,
yourself?
Oh yeah,
okay?
and then afterwards, it's important for people to know that after I got out, I went to work in industry, and the controllers and the automated systems, and I was very well acquainted with the type of control systems that were out of Fukushima. I knew what was possible. When I interviewed the reactor engineers that actually designed Fukushima, they were absolutely blown away by how much I knew without being told, you know, because I was telling them details about their system. Like, well, how do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know that? Well, once you get qualified to a certain level, you pretty much know pretty much anything about any system. So.
Okay.
And then also I did plenty of study, and I got, I got the goods. I got the training manuals and things like this for Fukushima, so I really got a good understanding of how the thing was put together.
Okay, I appreciate that. So basically you also said something about robotics, working in robotics.
Well, yeah. Well, all of these systems that you have in industry are automated. You know, as far as robotics go, I mean, you've got your optical encoders, and you've got your distance sensors and all this other stuff. And it doesn't matter if the machine is something that weighs 100,000 pounds or it's something dainty that'll fit in your hand or whatever. All the basics for those types of machines are the same. The ones that I worked on were in the steel industry. you know, automatic feeders for getting the exact amounts of right materials added, to get in the right position on a crucible so it wouldn't spill. Getting, I mean, it was it. There are so many things that that go on. You know, the right chemistry coming out of the smokestack and all this other stuff.
Sure.
And then all of this stuff gets controlled by a central brain that's looking at.
Okay.
You know,
it looks like somebody's
pretty much everything that the steel mill is in place at a nuclear facility. Huh?
Okay. Yeah. It looks like your sound is being messed with a little bit here. So I'm just going to ask you.
Anything that's in place at the steel mill. Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. Jim?
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. We're having a little bit of sound trouble there. Just want to ask you whether or not you were capable of looking at also, it sounded like you said electronic warfare division. You were capable of understanding Stuxnet. Is that correct? Because I'm told it's a pretty sophisticated virus.
Well, all you have to do is realize that it's a virus that can fake anything. And then you have to understand how the pumps work, how the valves work, and everything in the steel industry, when you're dealing with a big blast furnace or a big QBOP or a big thing that can explode if it doesn't get its cooling water, all the same safety systems are in place, the battery backups, the backup generators, a steel mill will explode loses power and things go down. If it loses power and things go down, it's a very, very similar type danger and a similar type setup, except that when things do explode at a steel mill, you don't have this mess to deal with. And I never had an explosion.
Okay. Now, before I go on, I want to ask you, are you still a patriot?
I love America very much. It is my home. I love the people there. But America has been taken over by a criminal elite. I've been run out of the country under threat of my life. I can't be there. It was my intention to stick around with that nation and be through the thick of it all. But after having attempts made on my life, they're just and being jailed twice over the Fukushima report and receiving numerous threats, I had to leave. I had no choice. I did not want to leave that country. I got hurt a lot there. A lot of people are getting hurt right now in America, but you got to realize those of you who are suffering and have been hurt by the various systems in that country, that this is not the American system that's in place there. What
right.
we have in place in America is a system that a conquering nation, a conquering people have put in place to slam that nation into the ground and destroy it once and for all. That's what's
yes.
happening there. And you have to realize you cannot really be angry with America. You have to be angry with the people who have usurped the power in that country and are putting it on a path to destruction.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I appreciate that.
I love my country, and I'm very sad that it had to go this way, but I can't be there anymore. I just can't.
I hear you. Okay, Jim, what I want to do at this point...
For a reference into what has happened to me, I've got that on my site. That story is there. If you go to the front page and you type the link, my experience with the Jewish community, all that stuff is on that page. All the death threats, everything that's happened to me is on that page.
Okay.
So if you want to go up, but it's a pretty big page and it's a pretty big distraction, and I prefer to stay on topic.
Okay, no problem. So let's go back to topic now, and I appreciate you detailing your background a bit more there for people, because I really wanted them to understand just exactly who you are and how very capable you are. Let me ask you this before you start detailing a little more detail in terms of Fukushima. You have the ability from a technical standpoint to evaluate these systems. This has given you knowledge. Sounds like you've interviewed some people to do with the Fukushima disaster. Do you have insiders giving you information as well? I mean, where else are your sources coming from?
You know, the whole thing happened because I knew that Fukushima couldn't blow up. The way that the safety systems and the boiling water reactor setup are designed, you can take that system, rip all the generators out of it, rip the entire reactor and all of its associated passive safety systems and throw it in the ocean and bury it under 10,000 feet of water, and the thing will sit there and run safely until it rusts through. That's the way those systems are designed. One thing that I got, that there are a couple of things that I learned in my interviews with these reactor engineers. They specifically stated that the Japanese were absolutely crazy about making their systems safe. And this guy, I can't give his name out because he wanted to be unnamed, who actually designed the reactors at Fukushima, he said that they went nuts with that facility. He said they put backup after backup after backup after backup in that facility to prevent any disaster from happening. And he said it was unnecessary. He said it was as crazy. And he said the reason why they did it was because they knew that they were living on an island and they wanted every possible insurance they could have to make sure that they would have absolutely no problems with that facility.
Fascinating. I mean, yeah, you know, absolutely.
But when you get a virus into a system that closes valves that are supposed to open automatically and forces them to stay shut and then puts the control rods in and guns the reactor to max while all the turbines are offline, well, you're going to have major problems with that. And that's exactly what happened out at Fukushima.
Okay, let's talk about the meltdown aspect of this, because it's not just one reactor, right? We're talking several.
Yes, okay. Now what I want people to do is I fixed the links on the front page, and the links are also on the Fukushima page. I want you to click the link that says Fukushima from above, and I want to go over a couple of things here. This is the killer. These are classified photos that a concerned engineer posted to Pink Tentacle. They're still there. It's a big mistake. These are not supposed to be online. They're more detailed than anything you'll find anywhere. And if you look on the Fukushima from above photo, I got to get this. The Skype window is messing me up, and I can't. Oh, hold on. I got to get this. Okay. If you scroll to the Fukushima from above, okay, on the upper left-hand corner, there is a box that says, TEPCO stated that Reactor 4 was defueled and had no core in it and was undergoing replacement of its internal shroud. All the wackos said it was enriching plutonium because it blew up. This picture clearly shows, and when you look at this picture, you can really clearly see it. And this is why these pictures are not out in the public. If you look in the upper right-hand corner of this facility where the first green arrow is pointing, you can see that there's a yellow dome sitting there with the cross-linked jib, you can see the jib that the crane hooks up to. That dome was off that reactor. And then you can look straight down at the throat of the reactor and see that it's completely empty, as TEPCO stated. Well, what this means then, these walls on this containment structure are more than 4 feet thick, solid concrete. So what blew them out? What on earth was in that facility? If the reactor didn't do it and the fuel pool couldn't do it, there's no way the fuel pool can do it. If the reactor didn't do it and hydrogen couldn't have done it, what did it? Why? So what we have here is Building 7 on 9/11, which collapsed at the World Trade Center, even though nothing hit it. This is Fukushima's Building 7. You can jam it right down the throat of the official story. You can look at this picture. You know that it couldn't have blown up just by looking at what's here. This is the most damning picture out at Fukushima. It is absolute proof that the why. Now, there's another picture. The other super high resolution picture is Fukushima from the front. What I want people to look at here is Reactor 3. In the center of this picture, there's a box that says NHK, CNN, and others have refused to show you this. Why? Because Reactor 3's dome should be sitting here, and there is about 30 feet of empty air below that where reactor, where there should be a reactor. Reactor 3 is blown away, and that is why they won't show you this. Okay. Now,
okay,
the
so how, I mean, just can you stop right there? So reactor 3 is blown away by what? By the nuke?
Yes. Building number 4, reactor 4, when they got two nukes into this facility. Reactor 4, when the nuke went off, it wasn't under pressure because it was disassembled. But when the nuke went off on reactor 3, it was at least 3,000 PSI, maybe 5,000 PSI. It was made to run at 1150 PSI. All the emergency relief valves kick in at 1050 PSI it's designed to run, and at 1110 the relief valves kick in. Those are the specifics that the reactor engineers told me. They said there's no way that this reactor system could possibly explode. Because the relief valves, you know, unless they are told to stay shut by the control room, they will automatically open. And no matter how bad things get in that reactor, they will release all the steam that fuel is capable of producing. So you cannot get above a certain pressure if the relief valves are not being tampered with. So
okay, but they were being tampered with, right?
Yes, they were being tampered with. So if you look on the very far right paragraph, it says, one very important point, reactor 3, which is obviously missing, is still giving normal temperature and pressure readings to the control room. Can you still hear me? It's really loud.
Yes.
Okay. It's still giving normal temperature and pressure readings to the control room. This would not be possible absent a controller that was infected with Israel's precious Stuxnet virus, which keeps all readouts normal both until and after everything is destroyed or blown away. So for months, with this reactor sitting here, obviously vanished in the picture, they were getting temperature readings, pressure readings, everything, normal readings in the control room from this reactor when it wasn't even there.
Wow.
This is proof of the virus. Right there, then and there, that's absolute proof that there is a virus in that system. There's no way you can get around it. And then
okay,
another
let me, okay, go ahead, but I do have a question for you.
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting for your question.
Okay. What I wanted to know is, did you talk to anyone who was at the location?
The only people that I have managed to get a hold of at the location only gave me one detail, and they said, and then I never heard from again. They said that immediately after the earthquake, there was
The so-called earthquake. We're going to have to come right back with Jim Stone in this fascinating...
There was a small earthquake, but it wasn't a 9.0.
I see. Okay, we'll be right back.
There was something. Okay, all right.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Who is Ron Paul? He's a veteran who's passionate about bringing our troops home from Iraq and is for a humble foreign policy. Congressman Paul is committed to securing America's borders. He's dedicated to lowering taxes and less federal spending. Ron Paul is for personal freedoms and is guided by the Constitution. Ron Paul is hope for America.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Is this dude serious? Fiscal conservative? Really? Santorum voted to raise the debt ceiling five times, doubled the size of the Department of Education, then supported the biggest entitlement expansion since the 60s. Not groovy. Santorum voted to send billions of our tax dollars to dictators in North Korea and Egypt, and even hooked Planned Parenthood up with a few million bucks. Make Santorum a fiscal conservative? Nay.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them. Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the Middle Chamber of Greater X on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief.
Okay, this is Terry Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. And we are listening to Jim Stone describe what's really gone on out at Fukushima and with this whole disaster that we're still seeing the repercussions from. Jim, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, great. So right before the break, we were talking about the fact that there was no explosion, but you did contact some people out at the site, and they had one thing to say before you started to say they had one thing to say.
What has happened, and we can go over this in the emails from Japan, is the quake was triggered. The peak intensity measured was a 6.67 inland. So it shook Fukushima a little bit, but Fukushima's designed to take an 8.1. It was a couple orders of magnitude away from damage.
Okay, we're kind of losing you right there.
Get a really, really reliable source, so I never published this. I will not publish things unless I can get it from multiple sources. So I did not publish this. I will say it on the air, though, however. I got one report from one guy out of Fukushima who said that the minute the earthquake hit, a man walked up and did some sort of update to the controllers for the reactors and ran from the facility like he was running for his life. Now, that could be fiction. It kind of goes against the story about Stukes not being able to learn the facility. That's really the only thing I heard out of there. I heard other stories about...
Okay, what? Let me just go down that road a little bit. What could that man have been doing, in your estimation?
He may have been either telling Stuxnet to switch modes into destroy mode. But if that's the case, then what would be the reason for the internet link into the reactor room? This internet link into the reactor room of Fukushima was spoken about in the Jerusalem Post. This isn't something that just came out of nowhere. Magna BSP talked to the Jerusalem Post and said that they could monitor the reactor and knew what was going on there because they had the uplink there, but, quote, they weren't using it, unquote. Well, yeah, right. We have this connection in the facility that's going haywire, but we're not using it. It's just like, you know, we're not curious about what's going on in there to be viewed through our camera. No. You know, that's not very believable. So.
Right. What is the bottom line
importance of this is that you never allow an internet connection into the guts of your control.
Okay. We're losing you a bit. Are you there?
Oh, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Okay. I can hear you now.
Okay. Now, what were you asking?
What I'm asking is the effect of all of this, because you've got a nuke under Fukushima. What really happened to the reactor? Because we have not gotten a straight story in terms of what's melting down and what isn't, et cetera.
Well, most of Reactor 3 went off into the wild blue yonder. If you look at the picture from Fukushima from above, you can see all the debris scattered around. You can see the concrete dust from Reactor 4 also. Reactor 3 has been blown to smithereens. Obviously, whatever was left was melted down because it's got to have active cooling for it to not melt down. And obviously, it's not getting up. So Reactor 3's whatever's left of it went to China. Same thing with the fuel pools by now. They've got to be, it's a despicable disaster.
Can you be more specific? The fuel pools, what are you saying about them?
Well, there was so much nuclear fuel out of Fukushima in those pools when General Electric designed these facilities, they had done something called closing the nuclear loop. What this means is that if the technology was allowed, the fuel was supposed to be able to be taken out of these boiling water reactors, put in a sodium-cooled breeder reactor, have all the impurities burned out of it, and then that same fuel was supposed to be able to go right back into the boiling water reactor and be used for 20 cycles before it had to go into a fuel pool. Well, President Jimmy Carter banned that technology. GE was denied the right to use it. Since then, that technology, the ban on it has been repealed, but the technology somehow got lost. They're not working on it anymore. So what has happened is rather than have your nuclear fuel get used 20 times and be virtually depleted, it gets used once and then put in the fuel pool. Well, these fuel pools weren't designed to be used that way. They weren't designed to have a new core go into them, you know, once every 6 months or once every year. They're designed to have a new core go into them once every 15 years, 20 years. And so if anything goes wrong with one of these fuel pools, they just go absolutely haywire. They start to boil their water off. Once the water's been boiled off, then the fuel gets hot, and then it melts, and then you've got your China syndrome right in the fuel pool. At least at reactor number 3, where you can obviously see that the fuel pools are totally blown away, this has got to have happened. I had never heard any reports that it happened, but logic has it that whatever fuel remained in those fuel pools, which is a lot more than what was in the reactors to begin with, has caused a secondary disaster out of Fukushima that a meltdown in a reactor could in no way match. Now at reactor 4, where the structure was still basically intact, I'm fairly certain that these fuel pools here stayed intact, and they were able to get the water in them. And then in reactors 2 and 1, obviously, the systems that run those fuel pools probably stayed online. But reactor 3 is the real problem. We're looking at many Chernobyls here.
But do you think there's been a meltdown into the core?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and do you think that Tokyo is experiencing higher than level, normal radiation at this time?
I personally would probably feel safe in Tokyo, but I actually I didn't believe anything that I was hearing in the press about radiation hazards or anything like that. And I've got a really, really broad background. I mean, I can't tell you how broad. So I did the safe radiation calculations on my own calculator. And before I went, I looked at anything because I didn't trust anyone's numbers and anyone's words, and I didn't want to be biased. And when I came up with my own maximum safe radiation exposures, they exactly matched Russia's safe radiation exposures for Chernobyl. Okay, so Russia most likely is telling the truth. Well, Japan is not telling the truth. They are many, many times over what Russia calculated was safe, the evacuation limit for Chernobyl. I mean, we're talking tenfold over. So we've got these Japanese people that are basking in radiation. Their government is not being honest. I don't think they can be honest because how do you tell these people that their nation's, been severely contaminated and there's nothing they can do about it?
Right. What,
can't do anything about it. So you really can't blame the Japanese government for behaving the way they are. It's just like, what are they going to do if a hurricane strikes? Make the wind go away? They can't. They have suffered a major catastrophe. There's nothing they can do about it but live with it. That's all there is to it. And I mean, it is major. They have areas that they're living in now that are 10 times, 15 times, 20 times the maximum, the complete evacuation limit for Chernobyl.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Why do you think that you would feel safe in Tokyo?
Because Tokyo, actually, when you get the readings out of there, it's not that bad. Tokyo is like maybe 1.5 times over background. It's really, really not that bad. They're probably sitting at about 3 millisieverts a year.
Okay, and what do you feel about the way that the radiation goes? It certainly went out into the ocean, didn't it?
Yeah, they're lucky. They're lucky the wind was blowing the way it was when that thing went off.
But they're lucky. But was China lucky? Is Australia lucky? Is California lucky?
When you have, we're talking, one of the heaviest elements on Earth, being blown skyward. That stuff doesn't stay in the air very much. So most of it precipitated out in the Pacific, pretty close to Japan. Obviously, excuse me, we had a lot of the really small particles make it here. But even here, whenever I hear about these real, real serious radiation issues happening here, when you look into it, they're still talking millisieverts, really like below 10 millisieverts, microsieverts. Sure, it's above background radiation levels, but... in my opinion, there's nothing that's really happened hazardous in this country.
What about the fishing industry? I guess off the coast of Japan.
Well, now we get into the issue of the ocean and how much it can soak up. Now, I'd imagine right off the coast of Fukushima and maybe 30 or 40 miles out, we've got some badly contaminated stuff. But by the time you get out to Alaska and their fisheries and the rest of the Pacific, I would imagine that there's, and I can't prove it, but we're talking, you can only contaminate so much with so much material, and I don't see how that can mess up the whole ocean.
Let me ask you this. Is it continuing to melt down?
I would say that Fukushima has either completely melted down and stabilized, or it's still, I don't have the answer to that.
Oh, all right. Okay, we're going to come right back after the break. Thank you, Jim Stone.
The death of years.
Just give me some truth. Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Indigrow is your source for affordable induction grow lighting. First discovered in 1891 by Nikola Tesla, Indigrow lights deliver 11 years of electronic sunlight to your plants. Indigrow lamps require less than half the power of traditional HID lamps. Converting to Indigrow lights means you'll cut down on your power bill with less lighting. Indigrow lamps also use 5 times less mercury than traditional fluorescent or HID lamps, making Indigrow not only energy efficient, but environmentally friendly as well. No more switching out lamps between vegetative and flowering stages. As nature intended, your lights get a steady dose of UV light. That makes your plants grow healthier and stronger. Indigrow products are manufactured in San Diego, California, and come with a written 10-year warranty. What Tesla knew, then growers know now, is that Indigrow lighting is the cost-effective addition to your victory garden. To learn more or order now, go to inda-grow.com. That's inda-grow.com. Or call 877-452-2244 to answer any of your questions. These guys really know lights. Indigrow really is your sunlight in a box.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices consolidated recent gains for second day Wednesday on short-term profit-taking. Gold last traded at $16.63, silver $32.05. Finally, some good news from the Supreme Court. The possibility Obamacare could be reversed, saving trillions of dollars and millions of heartaches, and giving freedom-loving Americans real hope about halting the mad dash towards socialism and currency debasement. LA Times reports the Supreme Court's conservative justices said Wednesday they're prepared to strike down Obama's health care law entirely. Perhaps Americans will grasp the federal government attempts to manage health care is far beyond their constitutional jurisdiction. And Dietlif Schlitzron, author of Paper Money Collapse, says one of the key questions in the gold debate, was it a mistake to abandon the gold standard and adopt a system of unlimited and elastic fiat money? Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com. Give us a call toll-free, 800-289-2646, for your Vote Gold 2012 newsletter.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot. Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Jim Stone. Jim, right before, let's see, I think we're right before or during the break, we were talking about the Mexican quake, and you are in Mexico.
Yeah.
Can you address all of that?
Yes, I want to kind of move away from the Fukushima power facility and get on to the topic of false flag terror in the name of the environment. If you just before we leave the Fukushima point report, I actually got the official report from the World Nuclear Association and what they said about Fukushima. And from the report, they specifically state the generators never got submerged, that even though the main generators failed, that they got adequate generators out there. So the entire generator story is a lie. If you go down to the bottom below the earthquake portion of this Fukushima article, there's all the technical specifics of why what happened at Fukushima couldn't have happened. It's all in the bag down there. If you've got any technical understanding of things, go down there and read it. It's kind of difficult to understand, but it's very well documented. And I'm going to get on to Mexico now. Right now, I'm in Mexico because I got chased out of the country over this Fukushima report. I had numerous attempts on my life. I got jailed twice. Okay, so I was here when this Mexico quake happened. So I got on the ball with it. I was sitting in this very Starbucks at this very table when that earthquake happened. And that's kind of interesting. But you need to go back to the very homepage of jimstonefreelance.com. Okay, I'm going to give you some time to get back there. And the very, very first link in the right, far right-hand column, it says Mexico quake proven man-made. Click that link. And here we have it. I wrote a email to Edgar A. At dgaray.com. And one of my quotes in the mail, I said, I think it's going to be pointless to take it beyond this. The case is proven pretty perfectly with very little. It's like finding the thief with a cash drawer back in the weeds 1 minute after the robbery. Further explanation simply is not needed. Anyway, it's really, really good to figure out that they pulled off a false flag event in the name of the environment within hours of them doing it. Because here we have a link to a Mexican page where they are talking about a 7.9 earthquake drill. They reported this on March 13, 2012 at 9:41 that at high noon on March 20th that they were going to be running an earthquake safety training drill in the Chiapas district of Mexico. Lo and behold, at high noon in the Chiapas district, they had a 7.9 earthquake that for real. Okay, well, if you get onto the if you're into the in anything about this false flag terror, a lot of these people know that they are running a simulation of 9/11 simultaneous with the real event that matched the real event. They were running in the London train bombings. They were running a scenario simultaneous.
Yes.
Well, here we have in Mexico an exactly simultaneous scenario that matched the earthquake that occurred exactly. There's an advertisement produced by the Chiapas district that I have there. It's a very nice graphic that they did. And now, one thing that is really putting fuel on the fire for this is Obama's daughter was, at least from what was reported to me, was in the Chiapas district during this earthquake. Here we have Obama threatening, I mean, telling Israel that we're not going to war with Iran, and I think that that this may have been a way to send Obama a real clear message that we had better do the bidding of the elite or this can happen.
Interesting. Very interesting correlation.
Yes. We have something really, really serious here, folks. You need to get on this site if you're not on it right now. and look at this link to the Mexico quake, verified man-made. It is a smoking gun. What has happened in this drill that was planned ahead of time is exactly what happened in real life. Now, this says a lot of things. It says we have an earthquake machine that we have a way to trigger earthquakes now. Now, right. If I have a link to a report on the front page, and it's also linked to in the Fukushima report, if I can't find it fast enough, where military briefing with Secretary of Defense William Cohen. It's link number 16 on the home on the front page. Click that, and it's going to take you to this military briefing. And this was done in 1997. It's right off the U.S. Department of Defense website. You scroll down about two-thirds of the way down the page. That's a massive document, so it's kind of hard to it's kind of hard to find this. But when you get there, it says very specifically, and this Cohen speaking in 1997. It says others are designing some sort of engineering, some sort of. Oh, wait a second. Others are engaging in even an eco type of terrorism, whereby they can alter the climate, set up earthquakes and volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of genius minds out there at work finding ways which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, and that's why this is so important. Now, the reason why this report is so important is because it's not a blurry UFO photo. It's not some guy spouting off about some nonsense that happened in a cornfield. This is a Department of Defense Secretary William Cohen speaking in an official DOD briefing and saying that this is a reality. Well, one thing that Cohen didn't say was that these systems that he spoke about in 1997 would have been developed by DARPA and owned by America First. So it's obvious, you know, that these systems do exist. That's a perfect explanation for why this earthquake happened in Mexico on cue. And now I need to get on to something really, really interesting. This earthquake, when it happened, was a very, very smooth movement. It moved east. What are my orientations here? It moved north, south, and east. A pull to the north, a pull to the south, and a pull to the east, and there was never any vibration of any sort. And if you look at the damage assessment that came out of Chiapas, only 800 homes collapsed there, and it was a 7.9. Well, in Mexico, a lot more of the homes than that are going to fall from a normal 7.9. A 7.9 is a pretty devastating quake. If you scroll down to the mails from Japan, the true perspective, and you click on that, I have emails from Japanese readers talking about these really, really strange, gooey quakes that feel like they're standing on a spinning top and they don't feel natural. These people are very experienced with feeling natural quakes in their country, and they're saying the one that they felt on the day Fukushima happened, the one that they felt the days before Fukushima happened and all of the aftershocks after Fukushima do not feel like the normal Japanese earthquakes. Well, if you've got some sort of a gravity wave pulling on the earth and moving it and simulating an earthquake, you're going to get your movement, but you're going to be able to tell the difference between that and something that truly came from the earth. One way to clue in on this earthquake machine is that these earthquakes are all originating at a depth of 10 kilometers. All the reports of the aftershocks, the reports of the Fukushima quake, the reports of the quakes that preceded it, and the report of the quake coming out of Mexico, all of these quakes happened at 10-kilometer depth with consistency. Here it says right here, I've been checking the USGS. This is a writer from Japan writing to me. It says, I have been checking the USGS regularly and noticed there are a lot of depth 10-kilometer quakes. The 311 and the 411 are both depth 10 kilometers. Do you have an idea what this means? Scalar weapon, harp, or just coincidence? These are Japanese people saying this. So they know there's something wrong. They know that there's something wrong.
Okay, I actually have to tell you that I was in Belize during the Mexican quake, and I have a quake. I'm an earth sensitive. I can feel quakes in my feet before they happen. And I have to say that the night after the Mexican quake, I had like the worst night of my life, feeling a very, very tremendous amount of vibration, but it's like hidden vibration. So that actually, what this person is saying in this letter is exactly the constant vibration idea. This is exactly right what was happening during the Mexican quake.
Yep. And here's another testimony out of Japan. March 9th, early afternoon, I was in a doctor's office with my dad, who was in a wheelchair. I was standing, then I felt dizziness. I looked up on the ceiling and found things were swaying. Nobody said it was a quake. I would explain it as standing on a big wobbling top. It was slow and not vertical nor horizontal. It was a magnitude 7.4. And my comment is, if no one said it was a quake and the Japanese are familiar with the quakes, what is this motion which caused a seismic reading of 7.4? I believe now that the earthquake machine places stress on a region with a circular pull, thus creating the spinning top feeling to pull out of all potential weak spots in all directions with the hope of triggering something big.
Very interesting. Yeah,
yes.
It actually sounds like possibly it's got another objective besides just being a quake. And I'm
yes.
not sure where that's going. I don't know if we're talking about moving the magnetic poles or trying to affect that the magnetic poles. I don't know enough about science to say but if you do create something that is circular, that is a vortex, that is toroidal kind of a situation going on.
You're going to trigger anything that could happen.
Okay.
Because you're pulling in all possible directions. Okay. Everything's broken up. I can't hear you.
Okay. I can hear you fine. You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay. I want the readers to go back to the Fukushima page. You can either type jimstonefreelancefukushima.html or scroll to the link on the home page that says Fukushima sabotage. We're going to go over the quake now. We already went over Fukushima. We're going to go over the oddities of this quake. I've got all the seismic records. I've got videos of the quake out of there. I want to scroll down. If you scroll about a third of the way down to the page, you're going to see a picture that says what everyone failed to notice. Absolutely no quake damage on anything as a tsunami rolls in.
Right.
And if you look at these pictures, I've got a link to the Japanese building codes for their homes. The Japanese have an attitude towards wood-framed homes that they're temporary and they're garbage. They tear them down after 20 years. So if anything would come apart in an earthquake, it would be one of their wood-framed homes. Their homes, when you get a wood-framed home like pictured in this very first picture here with a tsunami coming in, all these homes are perfectly intact, and it's very important to realize these are specifically intended to be disposable homes. Inside, they don't have interior walls. The Japanese homes are built with a great big open space, and then they have these dividers that they put up to get their privacy in certain areas that are not any kind of a freestanding. They're just these freestanding dividers. And I'm sure you've seen them like at swap meets or at Chinese markets where it's like this paper divider with a wood frame. This is what they use to divide up their, So what I'm trying to say here is there's no interior walls in these homes even to give them strength against an earthquake. So in this very first picture here, we should see massive earthquake damage in these homes if a 9.0 had ever happened. In the next frame, we have a lot of concrete structures as a tsunami rolls in. You can see old concrete buildings that weren't built to standards are completely undamaged. You scroll down even further, you see cars perfectly parked in the parking lots like nothing happened. If a 9.0 happened, it would flip cars from the parking lot. A 9.0 is so bad. The USGS actually reproduced a chart for a 9.0, and they said that the vertical acceleration was 12 Gs for 0.3 seconds. 12 Gs for 0.3 seconds. That's at the epicenter, MYG-004. At least the USGS was honest, and they said that the quake occurred inland. The media was the one that put the quake out in the ocean. The USGS never claimed that. The Japanese never claimed that. Everything regarding this quake's epicenter put it at station MYG-004, which you can see for the very next picture down the page. The seismic reading was a 6.67. For that site, the USGS produced a chart for a 9.0 and said that the ground pulled 12 G's in a vertical direction. Well, if you've got the ground pulling 12 G's for 0.3 seconds, you're going to have cars that are smashed like tin cans on the they can't hold 12 times their weight for 3/10 of a second. They're going to be smashed and thrown, not neatly parked in their parking spot. So when you see all these cars parked so neatly as a tsunami rolls in, that alone is proof that this quake never happened. There was never a 9.0.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I rambled a little bit.
Okay, no, it's okay.
But I also have all the links here. It's a full chart put out by the USGS. If you click on that, you'll go in. They offer no reading from MYG-011, which is closest to the 9.0 epicenter. But they did produce one of the 12G pull. Maybe that was the one by the... So it's been a long time since. And if you scroll further down the page, I have all the highest peak intensities measured at any seismic stations in Japan, and then the one that's closest to the reported epicenter. So there's the three highest, and then the closest to the reported epicenter. This is about halfway down the page. If you go on the links page. Let's see here. If you go on the links page, it's going to be link number...
Okay, you're saying that what they got was a 5.6 worth of shaking?
Well, that's a 5.67 worth of shaking was well away from the real epicenter.
Right.
The real epicenter was a 6.67.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back after the break.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Witnesses, first responders, and others tell the story the NTSB and the FBI hope to cover up. The documentary film, Wellstone, They Killed Him, examines the killer's motives, means, and opportunity. Who was Senator Paul Wellstone, and why would anyone want to kill him? High on the motive list is that the populist Minnesota senator, one of 23 who voted against the Iraq War in 2002, was sticking his nose into 9/11. Wellstone intimates say he was asking too many questions, that he wanted to get to the bottom of what really happened on 9/11. And thus was publicly executed as a warning. Watch the preview at WellstoneTheyKilledHim.com. A portion of the sales goes to fund a public investigation. Order a DVD for just $20. Help support our future projects. We document what the corporate and quote-unquote left media ignore. Chemtrails, weaponized mycoplasma, the IVAW, Bilderbergs, cyanine, and the neo-Malthusian depopulation assault on humanity. Visit SnowshoeFilms.com or go to AFR's homepage and click the Snowshoe Films banner.
What's up with these sorry politicians? Lots of art. When it's showtime, whimpering like little shih tzus. You want big cuts. Ron Paul's been screaming it for years. Budget crisis, no problem. Cut $1 trillion year one. That's trillion with a T. Department of Education, gone. Interior, energy, HUD, commerce, gone. Later, bureaucrats. That's how Ron Paul rolls. Want to drain the swamp? Ron Paul.
do it.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Ron Paul, a visionary who predicted the financial crisis, a leader with a plan to solve it. The Paul Plan? Balance the budget. Cut $1 trillion year one. Eliminate 5 federal bureaucracies. End the foreign wars and nation building. Rein in the Federal Reserve. Pay down the debt. Cut taxes to create jobs. Ron Paul, a plan to restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold is the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Warning. Warning.
American.
Warning.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
Use the truth carefully.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. And we are talking to Jim Stone. Fabulous show, I have to say myself. Very interesting information you're bringing to the fore here, Jim, and doing it very well, I might add. So I want to ask you about the earthquake itself, because it looks like it was a – you're saying it's a 6.67 was the actual quake itself, but – do you feel that this was HARP-induced, or do you think this was natural?
It's definitely HARP-induced, but I think that they got lucky and triggered a something natural with their – and that's why they decided to go ahead with their – you see, if they're going to set up nuclear weapons in the Japan Trench to trigger a tsunami, and they set off six, there's – if you go through the emails from Japan, that's very, very well described there. There were six tsunamis. There weren't one. There were six. So when one, you know, had finished, another wave came in and pushed it harder. Then that one finished, and another wave came in and pushed it harder. Then that one finished, another wave came in. There were six total tsunamis, and some of my writers from Japan said that there were boats washed up to as high as 120 feet above sea level. So we're talking something that really, I mean, this tsunami was something that was just crazy, in some areas anyway. Of course, how far it washes up on the shore all depends upon geography and how things get funneled and things like this. But the fact that we ended up with boats and things from the ocean 120 feet above sea level, we're talking something that was just nuts.
Okay, but why the three-pronged attack? Earthquake.
As in 9/11, if they're going to have a nuclear facility explode, they've got to have a reason. If they're going to have the towers collapse, well, they've got to have the planes go into them. If they're going to have a nuke plant explode, they've got to have a tsunami to provide a plausible scenario.
The tsunami was like the cover, right?
Yes, the tsunami was the cover. The tsunami is the equivalent of the airplanes on 9/11.
Okay.
Now, to explain this, because we were getting on the seismic signature here, if you click on link 4 on the home page, it's going to take you directly to the picture where I have the most relevant seismograms out of Japan. And there's an explanation of them here for it. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to click on it. It's link 4 at jimstonefreelance.com. On the very front page in the center column, it's link number 4.
Right.
It'll
I'm
open
looking
up
at
a picture,
it.
And it says, the scale of measurement is denoted by these numbers. MYG-004, which was the true epicenter, looks like a smaller measurement than MYG-011, which was away from the epicenter, because... But in fact, it was much more powerful, because if you look on the scale of measurement here, the MYG-004 is graphing out at 2,800, and MYG-013 is graphing out at 1,500. Now, this is something that's really, really important to note. These four seismograms were reported to be from the same quake, and that is critical to know, because when you look at the first two seismograms, we have, obviously, two separate seismic events in the same seismogram.
Yes.
And you look at IBR-003, which was the one closest to Tokyo, there's no trace of the other earthquakes being, of the quakes further north even being there. This means that these quakes that were further north were too small to register at IBR-003, so IBR-003 is a separately triggered seismic event.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So why?
It's so that Tokyo could feel the shaking too, and say that they felt the earthquake. Because you've got to, if it's a 9.0, feel it in Tokyo at least.
Right.
Now, MYG 011, and you look at the numbers, it graphs out at about 700, you know, for the maximum negative peak. And this one is this is the seismic station that was closest to the media reported epicenter for the 9.0. Well, then why is it the smallest reading? That's a big question. If it's the smallest reading from the seismographs in Japan, and it was way out on a peninsula, 24 miles away from this 9.0, why is it giving a reading of 5.6 or 5.67? I have to go to that. I got to go back to the Fukushima page here. Because when you go back to the Fukushima page and you look, all these seismograms are well explained.
I see that. Okay, you know, at this point, Jim, what I'd like to do is shift gears. I want to ask you before the end of the show about this recent James Bamford article about the facility in Utah. Are you familiar with that?
You know, I haven't been keeping up with the news lately. What is it? Is it about?
It's
an
NSA. I mean, it's an NSA facility.
Okay,
yeah.
Because believe it or not, I lived within 15 miles of where that's going in for 10 years. It's right by a reserve base. One thing that people needs to be really well known about that particular NSA facility is that it's on a key internet backbone. Now, my website, I don't know if you guys realize it, but, you know, for however many people are on this program, my website's running flawlessly. My website's on an extremely powerful server with an extremely good web provider, and it happens to be on a major internet backbone for Internet 2. This is the reason why. There's two reasons why that facility is going in Utah. Number one, it's on a major internet backbone for Internet 2, which is vastly superior to Internet 1, and it's got the Mormon population out there is extremely technically savvy, and the CIA and the NSA just absolutely love Mormons. They will hire Mormons left and right, because Mormons, they can be trusted, they can be they're intelligent, they're well educated. It's a double whammy. We've got
Pete Peterson would say it's more than that. It's actually a plot.
It's horrible. It's a horrible thing. What's going to happen with that facility? That internet backbone that's going through that part of the country is so powerful that it can handle all the traffic, no sweat. And it's really powerful. I was there when they were putting it in. Let me tell you, every house has like 100 fiber optic lines wires going right up to the house. And they only need to tap off of one to give you, like, infinite speed internet. That's the type of system they put in out there. And we're talking, they put a system in Utah that is just crazy.
Well, talking about the grid going down.
Huh?
Wait, but talking about the grid going down, is there a significance to that? In other words, they're also, I understand, moving the capital underground, north of Denver and into north of Idaho. All of this underground. I mean, in other words, what you're talking about is a double sort of the ramifications of building a facility on what you call the internet backbone. It's not only that, but there are a lot of underground bases in that area.
I don't know anything about the underground bases. All I know is that if power goes out elsewhere, Utah is going to stay up. It couldn't be worse. That NSA facility going in where it is, it couldn't be worse.
Meaning, it couldn't be worse. It could be worse
for us as a nation.
For the people.
Because if they're putting that NSA facility where it is, it's in a useless position for spying on the world. You don't put something that's going to spy on Afghanistan in the middle of Utah. You put something that's going to spy on Americans in the middle of Utah.
Interesting statement.
It's bad news. I'm totally against that going in. I've worked in these facilities. They're enormous. The one that I worked in was, at the end of a quarter mile long tunnel out in the middle of the Pacific. It employed 5,000 people, and it was 70% vacant with 5,000 people working there. It was 70% vacant. Where we used to, when we didn't have anything to do, we'd go out like, we'd call it spelunking, because you can go down all these dark corridors in the facility where no one's been for years, We used to have fun like that, and catwalks that are like eating out like aliens, aliens where they got shot in their acid ate, some of the catwalks had holes in them like that. It was a real cool place. So you'd go back in there and find old gas masks and old ordnance and all this old stuff that's been
Were you in California?
No. I was. This is out in the Pacific, and I'm not going to say where.
This was in California.
This is the U.S. has these enormous facilities in lots of places.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say it on the air because I don't want. I just got to express 5,000 people worked in this thing, and it was 70% vacant.
That's fascinating. Big. Yeah.
And everybody had room. It's not like they were cramped.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. We've got a lot of people that want to ask questions, and I do want to try to get to some of those questions. I guess I don't have my trusty helper here, so I'm going to try to, scan the questions on my own. Sorry, people, try to get to your questions. Feel free to use the call-in line on American Freedom Radio. I'm trying to rush here. We've got about 30 minutes or less for the show. And what I want to say here, though, is that as a former member of the NSA, would you say that there are white hats within the NSA?
The NSA is full of highly moralistic people that are very, very good. They work under a system of compartmentalized clearance so that when they're doing something evil, they don't know it because they don't know what their work is being used for. They don't know where the orders came from. But they are very, very good, honest, intelligent people.
Okay, that's great to hear.
I mean, it's the exact thing you don't want when they don't know what their work is really being used for, because they work hard at it and they're good at it, and boy, they will get the job done. I can't think of a worse scenario. You got all these honest people who think they're doing a wonderful job.
Yeah.
That are just who don't know
working
because
for the man.
They don't know who they're working for. They don't know what their work is being used for. I'm not ready to post that. Immediately after this program, I'm going to be putting back up an article on compartmentalized clearances and how these agencies work without even really knowing what their work is being used for.
Yeah, good point.
You got good people not knowing what they're doing.
Okay, but in terms of this, remember I asked you about that you've got this question on there about whether or not American companies are aware of Stuxnet. Do you think that, because we've had sort of some kind of nuclear incidents happening in the New Madrid area, as you may be familiar, I don't know if you're following that. Dutch Sense is reporting on
Yes, okay, I need to go off on this. This is a major topic here. Okay. This is a major topic. If you ever heard anything important, oh, gosh. Okay, first of all, the system that's affected by Stuxnet is the Siemens SCADA system, a supervisory control and data acquisition system. It's something where you can sit down and you can program on a computer and then upload what you programmed to your PLC and it'll run it. Okay, that's basically what it is. You can report back to the main office everything that's going on. It's a really, really slick system. After Fukushima, Siemens got out of the nuclear business because they knew what happened. They didn't announce it. They can't announce it. It's political suicide. They knew what happened. But here we have over 70% of America's nuclear facilities running the Siemens SCADA system that Fukushima was running when it got sabotaged and blew up. And it has been proven that this Siemens SCADA, that this Stuxnet virus that infects this system is running rampant in America. It's running rampant in Japan. It's a virus that'll get on your system. You won't even know it's there. In the past, it was spread via flash drives. I wouldn't doubt at all if it was upgraded now to just spread via emails. We have, it's a nightmare. This Stuxnet virus, I would not be surprised if it has infected a lot of the American nuclear facilities, and that is why now we're getting so much erratic behavior. And perhaps these nuclear engineers, I know that my Fukushima report made it at the Department of Nuclear Engineering out of Berkeley in California, Berkeley University. They got onto it, so no doubt they called their peers, and the nuclear industry is probably very well aware of the Stuxnet virus now. And so possibly, if you know.
So you're saying San Onofre, because there was some erratic stuff going on at San Onofre recently in California, by San Diego, and also, again, back in near the Great Lakes area of the New Madrid Fault area, they've had some weird nuclear stuff going on there. So are you saying that this may actually be being triggered?
By this virus, yes. That is exactly what I suspect. That's exactly what I think. I have a segment on in the Fukushima report, either the Fukushima report or the nuclear blackmail report, which, we could cover in another program. I don't want to get out of that in this one, where this virus, once it gets onto a computer or onto a controller, it wouldn't be anything at all if that controller had had any way to link back to the internet through any of the PCs that it reported back to. There isn't any reason to believe that it would not be able to report back to Israel when it affected a new facility. So if this thing is running rampant in the U.S., we could possibly have a situation where an oil refinery gets affected. Boom, that shows up in Dimona as a military option.
So then all our nuclear facilities, et cetera, would be at the thumb of an Israeli right now.
You cannot prove it. You can't prove it, but it sure.
Okay, we're going to be right back after this break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard 30 f***ing years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly f***ing jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your f***ing retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com. Or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
The middle chamber of Prayer X on AMR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his.
Okay, this is Gary Cassidy. Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We are talking to Jim Stone, and this show is on fire in more ways than one. Okay, Jim, we were just talking off the, you know, on the side there about Stuxnet, about the idea that the Israelis could actually be in control of not just our nuclear facilities, but also, I was just thinking, oil refineries. We're talking
anything.
About BP
yes.
oil spill. We're talking
we're
about
looking
using
at the new face of warfare. It's the new face of war. If something is not done to stop this, we're looking at the new face of war. And I want to go on a little bit of a rant here. I want to read a portion of the interview that I did with this nuclear engineer and then key it into the greatest threat that America now faces. And this really is a major threat. And in case I never get on the air again with you or with anyone else, this has to be said on the air. I swear I'm going to go on a little monologue here, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Are you there? Okay. The following is what he said in the interview. I started in the American nuclear program all the way back at the time of the Manhattan Project and have been involved in reactor design and nuclear engineering my whole life. There is one answer we all searched for, and it was how to close the nuclear loop. When a reactor, such as a boiling water reactor, uses fuel, the waste products, which are highly radioactive isotopes that have a different fission characteristic than the fuel, build up in the fuel and poison the nuclear reaction. A reactor such as a boiling water reactor can only use the fuel until it gets contaminated by these isotopes long enough to change the nature of the nuclear reactors, nuclear reactions taking place. The reaction environment inside a boiling water reactor is only one such an environment that will work to trigger a chain reaction. If that spent fuel is put into a reactor made from different materials, those materials can favor the burning of the poisonous isotopes and use the isotopes as fuel until the fuel is purified of them and therefore had its original radiological characteristics restored. Once that is accomplished, the fuel can go right back into the boiling water reactor and be used as new. We perfected the second reactor design, which used liquid sodium as a coolant, and that reactor ran much hotter, 1100 Fahrenheit as opposed to 550 in a boiling water reactor. The liquid sodium circulated inside the reactor in lieu of water. I can't going to skip that. He specifically stated that the burn down was so complete that the spent fuel was safe to handle directly with bare hands and needed no special care or maintenance at all. He went on to lament about what a waste of money it was because the fuel is expensive, and Carter banned this technology by executive order. And because the fuel is expensive and they were only using it to about 5% of its total potential. He lamented the fact that its life's greatest accomplishment got banned for no good reason, and it was a tremendous waste of money to not use the technology his team developed. Electricity would have been cheap, real cheap, so cheap that homes would not have been heated with oil or natural gas. Electricity would have been the only sensible choice. This would have been America's free energy future, with the only real cost being maintenance of infrastructure. His take on it was that we are paying too much for electricity now. I guess that's how an engineer thinks. But here is my take, and it has nothing to do with price, preservation of resources, or free energy. And this is where you really need to listen. Nuclear reactors are huge. I mean, they are huge. They have an enormous amount of nuclear material in them. One boiling water reactor, the size of the ones at Fukushima, can easily hold enough fissionable material to make countless atomic bombs. And with the technology that makes reusing that fuel illegal, it builds up at a rate of 25 tons per gigawatt year. That means that even small facilities like Fort Calhoun have approximately 1 million pounds of highly radioactive poison fuel sitting in their pools waiting for the right combination of problems to cause a disaster. When GE designed these nuclear facilities, both here and abroad, they had calculated that they would indeed succeed in closing the nuclear loop. So they designed these nuclear facilities with approximately 20 times safety margin in the fuel pools because they did not had a clear date when this technology would be perfected. It was my impression from this engineer that they got it sooner than expected, so fortunately the fuel pools were overbuilt. But they were never built to withstand the fuel burdens that would result from a political decision to destroy the technology altogether. So now, 40 years down the road, we have fuel pools around this country that are so full they have exceeded even the extremely generous safety margin they were originally designed to have, and even the modest fuel pools have over 400 tons of highly active isotope-ridden spent fuel in them. Having functional fuel pool cooling systems was never intended to be necessary, and now all it's going to take is a virus, an extended power outage, a smart bomb, anything to any one of these nuclear facilities around the country, and we are going to have another Fukushima on our hands because these fuel pools have gone criminally over capacity. And it's our own federal government, it's the Illuminati, it's people who wanted this country destroyed that caused this situation. We really do have a nuclear threat in this country. I can't express it more. If we get like a facility like Brown's Ferry that's an exact match to Fukushima, if we go to war with Russia and that thing gets smart bombed, we're in deep doo-doo because that thing is sitting right in the middle of our heartland. It's going to go off and it's going to radiologically poison the entire country. And that's just Brown's Ferry. all of our other nuclear facilities? What about all the other ones that are sitting in the heartland?
Okay, Jim, France. I got to stop you there. I really appreciate this. This is great, fabulous information. I just want to bring you back around to this notion that Stuxnet virus is actually in the hands of the Israelis, that it is tantamount to them also having their finger on a button that in which they can trigger a nuclear incident. So they don't need to bomb one of these reactors.
Yes,
or these,
that's exactly
these
it.
Tools.
You know, we don't need to wait for a smart bomb from Russia to have a problem.
Right.
Or a smart bomb from China. Smart bomb from Timbuktu.
So wants to be brought to bear, they could basically end up running the world by threatening to...
what the article Nuclear Blackmail is about, and that's one that I didn't want to get into, maybe on another program, because that gets really deep into this conspiracy. But
wow.
We have a major problem on our hands,
go ahead.
Between this virus and between the nuclear deterrent that Israel has managed to get in place around the world, which was fairly well ferreted out in my Fukushima report, and I just adapted it over. I've got it all explained in Nuclear Blackmail, why they developed their deterrent this way. We have a major problem. What we have now is a situation where if they want their banker bailout, they're going to get it. If they want anything from this country, they're going to get it, because they can destroy us on a whim. They can destroy us.
Okay, that's very, very important.
And this is why our government went against the will of the people and did the banker bailout. They knew that was political suicide. They didn't want to do it. Why on earth do you want to give $10 trillion to a bunch of European bankers? You know, that's where all the money ended up going, was over in Europe. They didn't pay off our houses. They still took our houses. The houses were paid for three times over by that bailout, yet we're still losing them in foreclosure. Why? It's because the money wasn't for the foreclosure crisis at all.
Okay, we are working against the clock here. I just want to take a couple calls if we have time. Do you mind, Jim?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we've got Jason from, let's see, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be saying your name, area code 707.
Hi, yeah, it's okay, you can say my name. But, yeah, great talk. I don't want to change the subject too much, but I was wondering, Jim, if you're familiar with the strange sounds that have been going on recently in Clintonville.
Yes. I'm really familiar with that stuff, but that's another one where there is a rumor, and my take on these strange sounds going off, and what I really believe is that there's a war going on between the light forces, the good people that I talked about at the NSA and the FBI and the CIA, and the bad people that are working for the Illuminati elite. There is a war going on, and we're having some of these underground facilities being destroyed, and that's where the sounds are coming from. And I don't know who's winning.
Okay. Well, it'd be fascinating to hear your evidence for that, because you sound like a pretty technical guy. You must have a technical reason for making a statement like that.
I went down that rabbit hole, but it's way too much to get into this late in the program.
Okay, we're going to have you back, Jim. Just incredible. Sorry, caller, I'm going to let you go, because we need to let another person ask a question.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, sorry about that. Let's see. We've got area code 612. You're on the line with Jim Stone and Carrie Cassidy.
Hi, am I on?
Yes.
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, I got a question about your something you have on your website about the Sandy Bridge being can be remotely disabled. I thought you have to enable that feature for that to work.
Technically, they say that you have to enable this stuff, but I don't believe it, because there's a back door for everything. And what he's talking about is Sandy Bridge is the new I-7, I-5, I-3 platform that Intel released earlier this year. And it has what's called anti-theft 3.0, I think. What this is if your laptop gets stolen, you can remotely disable or destroy that CPU, which basically bricks the laptop.
We're at the end of our hour here. Thank you so much, everyone, for being on the line. Jim, I want you to give your website, and please do donate to Jim Stone. He's got a donate button I see on his website. I'm sure he could use the help.
It's all got to come through Western Union, because PayPal has been banned, and anytime I link a bank account, it doesn't work. It's got to come through Western Union.
Okay, no problem. And what else do you want to say? Less some parting words here.
Thank you for being here. You know, false flag terror in the name of the environment is something that they went on to when they figured out that that their other false flag terror stuff wasn't working to the effect that they wanted. It fooled people really good. They got a lot of mileage out of it, but I intend to put an end to it. I want this entire era of false flag terror in the name of the environment to be gone.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Bushu comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Could it all be a bad dream or a nightmare? Based on preposterous notions and on ideas whose time should never have come, preventive war is used as a road to peace. Tolerance delivered by government guns. An empire replacing the republic. Slavery sold as liberty. Socialism to save capitalism. A government out of control, unrestrained by the Constitution, the rule of law, or morality. Money does not grow on trees, nor does prosperity come from a government printing press or escalating deficit. A central bank that deliberately destroys the value of the currency in secrecy, without restraint, cheered on by the pseudo-capitalists of Wall Street, the military-industrial complex. The good news is the reversal is achievable through peaceful and intellectual means, and fortunately, the number of those who care are growing exponentially.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices consolidated recent gains for a second day Wednesday on short-term profit-taking. Gold last traded at $16.63, silver $32.05. Finally, some good news from the Supreme Court. The possibility Obamacare could be reversed, saving trillions of dollars and millions of heartaches, and giving freedom-loving Americans real hope about halting the mad dash towards socialism and currency debasement. LA Times reports the Supreme Court's conservative justices said Wednesday they're prepared to strike down Obama's health care law entirely. Perhaps Americans will grasp the federal government attempts to manage health care is far beyond their constitutional jurisdiction. And Dietlif Schlitzron, author of Paper Money Collapse, says one of the key questions in the gold debate, was it a mistake to abandon the gold standard and adopt a system of unlimited and elastic fiat money? Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com. Give us a call toll free 800-289-2646 for your Vote Gold 2012 newsletter.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.